Hi, everyone. This is Judy Neal, and it's the Edgewalker teleconference for May 24th, 2012. And our topic tonight is miracles. And I've asked Molly Longstreth to open us with a quote. And Molly, are you ready to share?
Yes. Perfect love casts out fear. If fear exists, then there is not perfect love. But only perfect love exists. If there is fear, it produces a state that does not exist. Believe this and you will be free. Only God can establish this solution, and this faith is his gift.
That's mind-boggling. Thank you. Let's share a moment of silence to. Actually, I would ask you to read that one more time because that's just so profound, and then we'll have silence after that.
Okay. Perfect love casts out fear. If fear exists, then there is not perfect love. But only perfect love exists. If there is fear, it produces a state that does not exist. Believe this, and you will be free. Only God can establish this solution, and this faith is his gift.
Thank you. Let's share a moment of silence. Thank you. Thanks, Molly.
You're welcome.
So let's just do a quick check-in. I know we only have just a couple of people on the call right now, but go ahead and check in and say who you are and where you're from.
I'm Molly Longstreth. I'm in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And I don't know what to check in about. I was at a wonderful conference last week. On public opinion, and I guess I'm retiring at the end of June. So.
So you are in transition.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
And.
Seems to be a common theme.
Yeah. Well, did you want to say something else, Molly?
No.
Okay, thank you. There'll be many more opportunities. Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, my name's Ed Williams, and I'm from Houston, and I'm also in transition. We're trying to make a move from Houston, Texas, to Fayetteville, Arkansas, and just recently had sold our house, and 2 weeks prior to closing, we got a call saying that the buyer's loan had not gone through. So we're back at square one and looking for a miracle.
Meanwhile, you were all packed up.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to go out and look my Course in Miracles book up, and of course it's packed, so, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm Diane Williams, and same as for Ed as for me. I just know that for some reason we were supposed to stay here a little longer. I don't know what the reason is right now, but eventually. So in our hearts we know it's okay and that we'll eventually get there, and maybe not in our time frame, but in the right time frame.
Yeah, that's a hard one to accept, but it's a miracle if you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank
I'm trying
you,
to convince Ed.
Yes.
You're trying to what?
I'm trying to convince Ed.
Yeah, that's a difficult job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think maybe tonight will help.
I sure hope so. Yeah. Well, and I'm Judy Neal, and yeah, I'm in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and I wanted to talk about miracles because there's a conference coming up a year from now in Lourdes, Lourdes, France, and it's called Miracles in Management, and I want to submit a paper to that, which has to be submitted by July 1st, and I haven't really thought about miracles in the workplace before. You know, I've thought about things like compassion at work and forgiveness at work, but I hadn't ever thought about the concept of miracles at work. And so I thought this would be a wonderful topic. And just a few weeks ago, Molly had invited me to come hear John Mundy when he was here at the Unity Church in Fayetteville and hear him talk about the Course in Miracles. And it just kind of all seemed to fit together that it was a good idea to explore this concept of miracles.
Well, that's great.
Yeah,
he's a good speaker.
Mm-hmm. He is. He was so wonderful. Yeah, it was great to hear him and great to have that little group together with him holding the space for us. So I thought I'd ask us, I had a list of questions that was in the invitation we can start with, but if you have some other direction you want to go or something else you want to share, this is just our time together, and we'll make of it whatever you want. But my questions to start with are, what is a miracle? And also particularly the Course in Miracles, since it's is something that specializes in understanding miracles. It's like, what does the Course in Miracles have to say about miracles? And then if people know about other traditions, what do they have to say about miracles? Just to at least begin defining the territory. And all of you have a more expertise than I do in this, so I'd love to hear your thoughts on what is a miracle?
This is Molly. In A Course in Miracles, and Diane and Ed, you know, disagree with me if you like, but a miracle is a change of mind.
And that's it?
That's it.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A miracle, but as you change your mind, you change reality.
Actually, sort of. It's a lot deeper than that, but basically you're changing your mind ultimately about what you are and who you are and what is. And therefore, as your mind changes, you see things differently. Mm-hmm. So It's not at all about it's not about if you want to use Christian language, it's not about the Holy Spirit intervening in time and space. It's not about the Holy Spirit helping you to do whatever it is you're trying to do in this lifetime. But well, I mean, it is, but on a mental level. It's about forgiving the beliefs that one holds in one particular belief. And it's a subconscious belief, but it's played out in numerous ways in one's life. And so a miracle is a change of mind.
Okay. Thank you. Diane, sounds like you might have something to comment on that?
I'm not sure there's a Course in Miracles. To be honest, it's been a long time since I've studied Course in Miracles. But this may be strictly Unity, but it may be somewhat the same. the definition that worked for me when I heard it was that when we talk about a miracle, we expect something out of the ordinary, something supernatural, something extraordinary has happened. When in actuality, miracles happen all the time. It's just that we don't realize that they are miracles. So every day is full of miracles. So to expect a miracle is to expect the very best that life has to offer us, to approach each day positively and look for the good. And through this this changed response, if you were a negative person perhaps, through this changed way of looking at things, everything seems to go better. Everything seems to coincidentally fall into place. Everything seems to work together for our highest good. So a miracle should not be something that we pray for but don't really expect. We should expect them. We should expect our highest good. It doesn't always mean that this good will manifest the way we think it should, but it will the way it should. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's, you have to trust that even if you don't get what you want, it's kind of like you can't always get what you want. Get what you need. It's just
right.
Like that's really the miracle of it, is that there's some higher order, and
yeah,
that what does happen or unfold or doesn't happen, as the case might be, that really is for the higher good, and understanding and accepting that makes life flow easier.
Yeah,
I think that's what I hear you saying.
Mhm. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I believe, Ed. What do you? You have anything to add to that?
I guess, in a more intellectual perspective, you know, I think that in reality, you know, in a purely intellectual sense, there's no such thing as a miracle. It's only something that we are not aware of. That if we were fully aware, we would see everything that's going on around us and see how everything is interconnected and how everything is working and how special these connections are to one another. But since none of us are fully aware, you know, the things that we experience are perceived as miracles. Because, you know, we're not fully tuned in into the universe. We're really incapable of seeing the totality of what is surrounding us all the time, what is really is common. And like what was said earlier, you know, as we change our thoughts, we change our world. So we're kind of coming into alignment with what really is happening around us. And in that sense, that's the miracle. You know, years ago, you know, having a heart transplant would be considered a miracle. You know, today we just consider that, you know, that just almost it's commonplace. You know, does that all make sense?
Yeah, it does. The mirror, you know, you're saying because we can't perceive the interconnections, I'm going to just give this a try. Because we can't perceive the interconnections that we, if we had a unitary consciousness or a higher level of consciousness, we could see the oneness and the interdependence of things and understand the greater underlying patterns. But because we can't, there may be anomalous events that happen, something very unusual that fills us with awe, and we don't understand how it happened because we're just not at that level of consciousness now. We don't see the interconnections.
Exactly.
But it's just there. It is normal and natural, not unnormal, not unnatural. It might be supernatural, but it's not unnatural.
In this state of unawareness, miracles happen all around us all the time. But in a fully conscious, aware, being fully aware, you know, there isn't a miracle because, you know, it's just the natural workings of things. It's the law of the universe. It just happens. Everything falls into place when it should and as it should. You know, we're looking for a miracle now. But I don't see why the loan fell through. Well, the universe knows, and it's up to me to release that and change my thought about the process of selling the house and moving to Arkansas in its own time. You know, it will happen. You know, we set the intention for that to happen. But all in Spirit's divine timing, that will all occur and come to pass. And allowing that to happen, being that in that state of just releasing, letting go, you know, that's the miracle.
Mm-hmm. That is. Someone just joined us, and what we're doing is sharing our definitions and understandings of miracles. Do you want to check in and say who you are and where you're from and join the conversation?
Hi, how are you? My name is Jamie Lind. I'm from Cranston, Rhode Island, and I just finished reading Edgewalkers a couple of weeks ago and was poking around on the web and saw that you were doing this call. I actually just finished reading a book entitled Qualified for a Miracle, which emphasizes the Christian faith and that connection to the fact that they are real and very attainable and, you know, a part of our everyday lives. I'm not sure who was just speaking because I joined late, but it's a great way to think about it, you know, as not unnatural at all, you know, to your point, perhaps supernatural, but in fact, how many of them we're not even aware of.
Jamie, thank you so much for joining us. This is Judy Neal. I'm the author of Edgewalkers. And we have on the call Ed and Diane Williams, who are Unity ministers, and Molly Longstreth, who is with me here at the University of Arkansas and a dear friend and collaborator on research on spirituality in the workplace, among many other things that Molly does. And Ed and Diane are working to move here to Fayetteville. It seems like we've become kind of a vortex in the universe.
Very cool. I like that word.
Yeah, there's a special energy here. People who arrive in Fayetteville often feel like it's a miracle to be able to find this wonderful place. So Jamie, thank you, especially for the reference to Christianity, because the reason I chose this topic is because of a conference that's being held in Lourdes, France, a year from now. It's being titled Miracles in Management, and because of the miracles that happened in Lourdes, and you know, so that's deeply a part of the Christian tradition of miracles and healings and visions, and how that can happen to children, that can happen for anyone. And in fact, the whole Edgewalker concept is that we all can have those visions. We all have special energy and special skills and gifts that we can learn to tap into. And so that's natural, as Ed was talking about. It's a part of our nature that many people just don't see and just don't know. So I hope
or don't want to believe.
Yeah, but the sense of disappointment, I think, would be one of the things. You know, I find myself sometimes just not wanting to believe because there might be something that I want so much and I want a miracle, and not understanding the bigger picture. If I don't get what I want, you know, I might say, well, a miracle didn't happen. On the other hand, there may be something bigger, as Ed was pointing to, that if I had
sometimes
a different...
the miracle is that it didn't happen.
Yeah. I can't remember if it was Garth Brooks or some other country singer had this wonderful song that said, "Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers."
That's a great, great line, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so funny because we think, as humans, we want to think that we know everything and we want to think that we're in control, you know, more importantly. Yeah. But, you know, it's only by surrendering that control and acknowledging the fact that we are, you know, but a speck of what's happening here, and the less we fight it, the more we're going to achieve and move forward.
Yeah.
It's tough. We got to fight our own nature every day if we want to, you know, be able to move forward.
Yeah. Sometimes we think we're God and that we control the universe. I go to a Episcopal church here, and our minister talks about it as functional atheism.
Yes, I've heard that term, actually. Heard the term that I heard was actually the Christian atheist. Is the one who says, I believe in God. Like, I completely believe in God, but I'm not going to give anything to him.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm going to have to handle this on my own. Because
God isn't doing what I want, so I'm going to take over here.
Yeah, exactly.
So my next question is, we alluded to this, what's the difference between a coincidence, a synchronicity, and a miracle? Or maybe not even what's the difference, but what are the similarities and connections between these words as you understand them? I'm not having a definition or a right or wrong answer. Just kind of curious about how all of you see these particular things. Because often when we talk about miracles, we'll talk about synchronicities or coincidences. So,
I think to the point that Ed was raising before, it really just comes down to how you're perceiving what's happening. You know, if you believe that it's just a coincidence, you know, just happened to happen, or you believe that there was some sort of synchronicity involved, or you believe it was a miracle, but it's all part and parcel of the same thing. It's just, we're, you know, what we want to call it based on where our perception is at that time.
And so a lot of it then would have to do with what we name it and whether or not we see the possibilities. Like, I mean, my understanding of a coincidence would be two things coincide in the same time, but they're not really connected. It's just like, well, that's interesting. You showed up at this store and I showed up at this store at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so that coincided, but there's no meaning to it.
Yeah.
But the
no meaning that we're aware of or want to think about.
Yeah, because that's the perception is just, oh, okay, that's just the way it is. But a synchronicity would say, like what Ed was talking about, there's a higher connection. There's something going on that brings us together for some higher purpose. Does that fit what you're saying, Jamie?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a saying in New Thought that there are no accidents. There are no coincidences, in other words.
Yeah. So then that
it's
would
all
be...
part of the plan, whether we understand it or not.
Right.
Have any of you seen the TV series Touch?
Yeah.
You haven't seen that on television yet?
No.
I've only seen a couple of episodes of it with the boy who is autistic and he sees the numbers that connect everybody.
Yep. That, you know, using that as an example, you know, that's where everything is interconnected with one another. We're just not aware of it. And the observers often just see that as coincidences. When actually it shows how everyone and everything is interconnected. You know, in a casual observation, you know, meeting an old friend at a store that I hadn't seen in years, it can be easily written off as a coincidence. But actually, it could have a much deeper meaning that we'll never, ever even know about. You know, just saying a special word to someone or smiling at another person that, you know, that we don't even know can have an absolute dramatic impact on their life, and we'll never know about it. Is that a coincidence? Perhaps. But it could also be classified as a miracle, at least that person who received that blessing.
Mm-hmm. Someone's at my door. Excuse me. I don't think I'll answer it. sorry. In A Course in Miracles, while, I mean, the Course doesn't agree with much of, you know, what's been part of the conversation this evening, but one thing it does say is that we have access to two minds. One mind doesn't really exist, but that's the quote-unquote mind we're using most of the time. But the other mind does exist, and in fact, it's the only mind that does exist, and that is a mind of complete unity. And when we access that mind, we see others' behavior as either a call for love or an expression of love. And so in the example that you just gave, Ed, if we were in our right minds, as it were, and we saw the call for love on the part of someone walking down the street coming toward us, someone whom we didn't know at all otherwise, and we expressed love by giving them a smile or something like that, that would be an extension of love to a call for love. But again, one wouldn't necessarily know the ramifications of that or anything. It's just that an expression of love is always a good reaction to a call for love. But one cannot truly express love unless he or she is in her right mind or his right mind. In other words, the mind through which one is being sought is the mind of unity rather than the mind that believes in separation. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if
that
makes
sense.
Thanks
for that clarification. Yeah, thank you for that clarification. Fran Levin just joined us. Hi, Fran.
Hi.
I'm glad you were able to make it. You thought you might not be able to, and you're with us.
Yeah. Yes, for a little while.
Yeah, great. Thank you. What we've been doing is talking about what is the definition of miracles and from some different traditions, and also the connection between coincidences, synchronicities, and miracles. And I'd like to turn the conversation now to asking you if you're willing to share stories of things that you've experienced. In the workplace would be my, you know, like what I'd really love to hear, because the workplace is someplace where we don't normally think of miracles. but anything that comes up for you. And I want to start by sharing a story of a miracle I experienced in the workplace. And this was a long time ago, and someone had just given me the books for A Course in Miracles, and I was reading the teacher's manual. And in the teacher's manual, there was a statement that everyone is a spiritual teacher for us, and that I don't remember recall it specifically, but it was what I got out of it was that people who are particularly difficult are even more powerful spiritual teachers for us.
Right.
And is that right, Molly?
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the time, I was working at Honeywell as an organizational development trainer and facilitator to help build stronger sense of teams and a real strong, high trust, open culture. You know, it was a wonderful job. But I had a particular supervisor I was working with in one of the manufacturing plants. His name was Chuck. And Chuck was so difficult. You know, I'm supposed to meet with all the teams once a week, each team, you know, and do some training sessions and facilitate their problem-solving team meetings. And he would always find a reason for us not to meet. He would cancel the meetings. And I would say, you never cancel, you only postpone. But he wouldn't reschedule. Or if we finally had a meeting, he would just be difficult. And you know, it was very, very frustrating because I felt like I couldn't do my job and that he was really blocking everything. And so after reading this, I said, okay, I'm just going to play with this. What if Chuck was really here to be a spiritual teacher for me? And what if I really seriously held that in my heart when I go to meet with him next, because I was supposed to meet with him about some upcoming work we were supposed to do together. And, you know, normally I would go in there angry and frustrated and, like, trying to figure out how I could use power to get him to do what I wanted to do. But I said, you know, that hasn't worked. So I'm just going to say, this man has something to teach me. And I don't know what it is, but I'll just go in and find out what that is. So I sat down with him in his office. And the first thing he started telling me was, I want my teams to be the very best teams. And so I asked him, you know, what that was about, because I figured maybe there was something I could learn here from him. And I really opened my heart to him and tried to get rid of any barriers and judgment that I had about him and just really, really see him as a spiritual teacher. And he just started talking about how much he cared about the teams and how proud he was of them. And in about 15 minutes, he was saying, so you know what? I want you, he's saying to me, Judy, I want you to be, to have my teams be the teams you do the most training with. I want you to give them priority. I want you to come in here and do communications training and conflict resolution and statistics training. And it was like all the things I'd been trying to get him to do. And he was telling me I should give him priority.
Wow.
And I walked out of there with such love for him. And we had an incredible working relationship after that. And I went, oh, that's a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a miracle.
Wow. And that's great, Judy.
So he really taught me a lot by first being difficult and then letting me practice on him as a student and him, you know, letting him be my spiritual teacher. He really was.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'd love to hear other stories that people have of miracles that you've experienced. And, you know, where miracles can be changes in relationships like that, but, you know, we haven't even touched on healing as a miracle. And there's physical healing and emotional and spiritual healing. Those are miracles. I think it's a miracle I found this job that I've got. I mean, there's all kinds of miracles. So I'd love to have you share.
When this is Molly. I for the last 13 years, directed a survey research center at the University of Arkansas. And it's a challenging job, but like many other jobs, one has to deal with a whole variety of clients. And at one point, and early on, there was a client who was a very young faculty member, and that person is excessively controlling. And we had very, very difficult relationship. And a lot of people had that same difficulty. But I knew that I was really upset in working with this person. And therefore, I had to do some inner work. So I happened to be working at home, and I just went in with the Holy Spirit. Or, excuse me, I'm sorry to use that language. But
so never apologize.
So
you can use any language that works for you.
Okay, well, I went to that source, and in A Course in Miracles, the miracle happens when you really take a good hard look at your completely buried subconscious belief that you, I'll put it gently, separated from God. But another way to say that is that you triumphed over God, okay? I mean, it teaches, like Christianity does, that's the source of theodicy, as it were. That's the source of mistakes. And so I really got in there, and somehow I really connected with and saw that, you know, I wanted control. I wanted to be God. I wanted to triumph over God. You know, and the fact that this other, my client, was mirroring that so perfectly. You know, I could only be grateful, but, oh, golly, it took some work to be grateful, you know what I mean? And but what happened was I really finally got to the point where I was definitely willing to be wrong, that I had, in fact, triumphed over God, that I even, you know, that now I definitely don't want to, and anyway, somehow it works on this very deep level. And what happened was I had this total forgiveness. You know, and it's always of oneself and one's own controlling, you know, wanting to be in charge type, you know, behavior. But it's a managerial behavior in this case. And I think what happened was, and I've had this happen before, is that sometimes the other person gets it. Mm-hmm. They receive all the love you have that has happened to have poured out in this forgiveness, even though it's only a forgiveness of oneself. And so what happened was our relationship totally changed. And even today, this person is one of my greatest supporters. Bless you.
Thank you.
And I know I'm not explaining that all that well, but the forgiveness of this desire to control and that person being a mirror of my own desire to control was just such a powerful experience. And, of course, helped me release my own desire to control.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, it was just really beautiful, and the relationship really and truly did change. And so on a few levels, that's miraculous to me.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for sharing that. Can you say more about, I was very intrigued by it, forgiveness is always forgiveness of oneself.
Yeah.
Can you say more about that?
Sure.
That's a pretty radical statement.
Yeah.
And you're saying that in a way this person became your spiritual teacher by teaching you about your own sense of wanting to control.
This person had polished the mirror.
Yeah.
To which one was staring. And I mean, there the outline was so clear. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, if subconsciously we believe that we have separated from God, there's only unity in reality, but we went to God one day instead and said, is this all there is? If so, Dad, I'm out of here. Sort of like that prodigal son character.
Yeah.
And like the dad, you know, reality says to us, or God says to us, you know, here's everything. But we believe we actually destroyed God, okay, because you can't have separation in unity. Either there's unity or there's not unity. And so by believing we've separated from reality, from unity, it means we believe in separation. And believing in separation means that we have triumphed over unity. We have triumphed over oneness. And so what one does in A Course in Miracles, in the practice of forgiveness, is that one looks at the situation and realizes how it reflects our belief that we have triumphed over God. And then looking with the what we believe to be love standing with us, we look together and we realize how silly that is. And when you can see how silly that belief is, then it just melts away. It is completely forgiven. It is shown to be the silliness that it is. And in that quiet place of forgiveness is the miracle where an ancient hatred has turned to love. And the ancient hatred is reflected in our belief that we had to triumph over this existence. And that, but the acceptance of love is realizing that that's absurd.
Thank you very much for that.
I know it sounds a little weird, but, you know, there
it is. I'm probably not to the people on this call. I mean,
I don't think there's any such thing as weird.
if it does sound weird to someone, please say so and ask for clarification or give us another point of view. You know, this is all an exploration. But, Molly, that story is just so profound. And what a gift you got out of that by this new relationship, first of all. But secondly, seeing a pattern that you could then change in yourself and in your perception of others.
Yeah, and the beautiful thing is, and A Course in Miracles teaches that one's only job is to look at the obstacles to love's presence, because love is always there. Reality is reality is reality. Mm-hmm. Love is the nature of our existence. Unity is the nature of our existence. But we've got to do the hard work of looking at the obstacles. And then we don't have to do anything else. All the mental changes are completely somehow done.
The resistance just melts away. That's the way you described it.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything. A friend of mine used to call it celestial forgetting. But the ramifications, and you don't have any control over the ramifications either. None. Zero. But the ramifications in my life have always been so wonderful. Mm. That one can think that is truly miraculous.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So, someone else have a story to share or comment about what Molly has just shared?
Hi, this is Jamie. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you. Go ahead.
I think your story is wonderful, and I think that over the past 12 months, it was probably the first time in my life that, I have begun to accept that miracles do happen, and to, I think, Ed's point, that being able to see them and recognize them. I'll try to make it a brief story. For the past 12 months, I've been trying to make a partnership, a new consulting firm, work with a dear friend and frankly, a spiritual mentor of mine. And during the course of this time in trying to build this practice, we've struggled with a variety of things, but one of the most important was how do we maintain the integrity of the spiritual basis for our work while towing that line with the corporate world and what's reasonably acceptable and all that. And during our work, we also started a homeless feeding the homeless ministry and, some really great projects. But the reality was that the consulting work was not taking off. People weren't getting it. We were evolving in our thoughts about our work and how we articulate it and how we approach it. We're evolving, but financially, the practice just was not going to sustain us. And it was a very, kind of tumultuous realization. And I can say literally almost immediately after we decided to not keep this going, he decided to pursue building this ministry, this nonprofit, full time. I decided not to stay on and continue the work full time, that I had been doing, but to, go a different direction. Ultimately, I decided to keep the practice myself. But I can tell you that almost immediately after those decisions were made and verbalized, doors started closing and doors started opening. Client projects that we had proposals in the works, but would have been very challenging to turn down had they selected us, were calling and saying, we picked another firm. Projects were wrapping up. And on both the Elisha project and on the ministry side and with the consulting, conversations started happening and doors started opening that we never could have imagined. So I guess, my experience of it is as much in seeing the miracles and appreciating them, but also in the realization that sometimes our role in facilitating that is by letting go, is by, to the woman who was talking a few minutes ago, to your point, by saying, okay, you know what, I'm not going to try to drive this bus. I'm going to kind of see the writing on the wall, and as much as it's counter to what I had hoped for or anticipated, I'm going to let this go. And in my case, literally by letting the practice go, I got it back. So it's been kind of a wild, turn of events, and I'm still, very much scratching the surface on where this is all going to go for me and for my my former business partner. But it has been truly humbling and quite a reality check to realize that it is not about me, and what's going to happen is going to happen. Whether it takes longer because I'm standing in the way for too long or, I kind of can learn to go with the flow and help be a vessel for, letting things transpire as they need to. But when you let go is really when things start to happen.
Yeah. Oh. The beautiful story of, the miracle of letting go, and I mean, it fits right into what we were saying in terms of functional atheism or functional Christianity of trying to be God, trying to make it happen, trying to do, versus the being in alignment. And so you and your partner each got in alignment with what was most important for you to be doing in the world, the bigger calling. And when you do that, it's not always perfect, it's not always easy, but it sure gets easier.
And in our case, I think it was the realization that our calling was not the same. It's woven together in that, you know, we will continue to work together, and, you know, the great parts about what we were trying to do are not going to die. They are just going to exist in a different form, with a different, you know, organized circumstances. It's very interesting. We wanted to believe that we were meant to run this business together, and you know, we were going to make it work. But it wasn't until we realized what wasn't working and let go that it's actually going to. So,
congratulations to both of you, because you'll be more powerful for good in the world as a result of that realization. Both of you, it's like your ministries both got clearer and stronger for both of you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much.
Well, may I?
Yes, Fran. Yes, Fran. Go ahead.
Just a few minutes. Let me see. I'll let go of the story. but in talking about miracles and healing, I go to a Christian Science church, and the understanding is that God did not create anything bad. God only created good. And so we are created in God's image, so we're spiritual beings. And so when that is recognized, in other words, when I can let go of my idea of who I am, you know, Fran Levin, etc., and just know that I am an image of God, and know that I'm a spiritual being, then that's when all kinds of healing takes place. And they're not called miracles, they're called natural. So all of these stories are available to read, and I just wanted to add that part, but it is about letting go and letting God, which people have been talking about.
Fran, I'd like to add to that. This is Judy. That also, when we authentically share who we are, I think it opens the door for more miracles. And I would just want to share that you had sent me an email recently. It was a link to your story of how you found Christian Science. And I sent that on to a woman here in Fayetteville, Pat Babb, who is a Christian Scientist. And she just mailed me the hard copy of the magazine in which your article was printed. And she called me to thank me for sending her the article and how she had read your article a while ago and how she felt connected to you and was so excited to know that you and I knew each other, you know, and all these interconnections. And it shifted the energy of my relationship with her so that there's a closer bond, because I don't know exactly why, but it shifted, you know, it was just a beautiful shift of us each appreciating each other and the interconnections. It's, again, like what we talked about at the beginning of this call, of seeing differently and seeing not the separation but the oneness.
Yes.
And so you played a role in your being authentic and sharing your journey, first publicly and then with me individually, in a way that, you know, who knows what the ripples of that are.
Yeah, that's right. We never know.
No, but that was just really a sweet experience.
Yes. Thank you for reminding me.
Little things we do, like you said, could make a difference.
Right.
Yeah. We have time for one more short sharing about a miracle, whether it's just a thought about what they are or a story. But someone who hasn't shared want to go?
I asked Ed, and he said he didn't really have one. And I don't really have a workplace miracle that I can really get into my head. I know there's probably been many. I've had some kind of dramatic miracles happen. But what I really resonated with in this conversation tonight was about the letting go. Because the more I find that I can let go and let God, that in itself is the miracle for all of us, as we've been saying in all kinds of ways, when we can really release our control of a situation. It's just the hardest thing to do. But I think if we do what we can and let the rest go, it will always work to the best advantage. But it's very, very hard. We have this ego in us that just gets crazy sometimes, and it's we don't mean to be there, but really we think we have to do it. We have to do God's work. And I don't mean, as you know, I don't mean silliness, like, you know, not feeding the children or whatever, something serious. I just mean letting God be God, letting God take care of that, that God can really do well. We pray, move our feet, do what we can, and then get out of the way. You know, that's how I like to think of trying not to control everything, and truly miracles really do happen the more you can do that. So that's what I have to say about that.
Well, that's a, Diane, thank you. That's a beautiful way to close, and I bless you in your letting go and learn from you, and I'm trying to sell my house in Connecticut, as you know, and so we all let go and trust God with all these things that we yearn for. I think the yearnings, everything we're given is good. As Fran said, if it's all from God, it's all good. So the yearnings are good, and the frustration is good, and it's all a blessing. And so why resist it? Why not just be in the flow of it?
Yeah, it's about listening for God's direction, and sometimes it's not easy to do that.
Yeah.
I would like to add one more thing, and if there's time.
Sure.
And just quickly, but I think it's also respectful for oneself and others to say, you know, to admit, I've experienced a disappointment. I've experienced a loss, or I am experiencing a loss, and I'm afraid, and I'm angry, or, you know, whatever. But when you have loss, you have anger. And when one acknowledges that, then it opens the way for the miracle, the change of mind. Because what we're implicitly saying to what we believe in is, help me see this differently. Help me see this your way, not my way. But here it is. This is what I am feeling, thinking right now, but I am slightly willing to be wrong about that.
I love that. Thank you, Molly. I'd like to end with a quote from Ruth Marcosi that comes from a longer piece about flow, since we've been talking about letting go and flow and sensing from a higher level, it just seemed to fit. And that what you just said about listening, too, I think it fits. She writes, simply stop what you're doing from time to time and have a good look around you. Listen also. Feel the energy of the world flowing around you and through you. Contemplate how you are a part of that energy rippling through others. Think of the universe as a river and yourself as a drop of water flowing within it, surrounded by countless other drops. It's no so far-fetched an image to conjure. And once you get a good grasp of this sense of interconnectedness, you'll find that those old feelings of loneliness, depression, vanity, and anger have evaporated.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy.
Good night.
Thank you, everybody, for being on the call.
Everybody. Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, good night.
Bye.
Bye.